I want to talk to you on a topic today that may blow your mind when I tell you what it is. I want to talk to you today about hide and seek. Now, I don't know if little children typically today even play hide and seek. With all the electronics and all the distractions, I don't know. I mean, I've got some great grandkids and I'm sure they've not played hide-and-seek yet, I don't think, but peekaboo, yeah. You know, I think every kid throughout time has played peekaboo. But you know, the hide-and-seek that we're talking about that we used to play, guys, and how many of you remember? And it was the best at night. Yeah. How many of you ran into something with your head and injured yourself? Yeah. Boy, I got memories. We had some fun, though, didn't we? Well, our foundational text comes from Colossians 1, verses 15 through 23. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 23 is where we're going to begin. We will be digging into a lot of scripture today. Geez, I don't know. I may preach on until 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'm kidding you, of course. People that are visiting are going, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. Beginning to read, verse 15 of our text. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word, and we just pray now, Lord, that your spirit will come forth and lead us into all truth, and draw the truths that you would have us to glean from this message today. Lord, I pray that as I bring this message, you'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that you would step forth and reveal yourself, that you would put a watch on my mouth this morning, that I would only speak the words you have ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So most of us know how to play, maybe not everyone, but most of us know how to play hide and seek. Everyone hides and one person looks for them. This simple game gives us a revelation of our basic human character and of God's divine mission. The first major point I want to talk about with you is the fact that people hide from God. People have a tendency to hide from God. God's word tells us that we have all turned away from the Lord and his commands. Every one of us, without exception. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. As it is written, There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Guys, as I read that passage, I'm grieved. Because that is a description of the world that we are living in right now. Hamas snuck into Israel and killed thousands of people. With no thought of the shedding of blood. They beheaded babies in their cribs. They poured accelerant in cribs and lit them. They poured accelerant on elderly people sitting in wheelchairs in their homes and lit them. This kind of evil is something that goes beyond what we can get our minds around most of all. But it's the kind of evil that comes directly from the evil one, Satan himself. And then the list goes on. I could stand here for hours, to be honest with you, and you know that's true, and talk about the horrific things that are happening in the world. I could even narrow it down to the horrific things that have been happening in our nation. Talk about the spilling of innocent blood. 63 million babies have been killed in this nation in the name of abortion, and in the name of a woman's right to choose, and in the name of convenience. It says their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. You turn on the news, and all you see is deception and lies in the news. Because the media has been corrupted, as has all three branches of our government. And we've come to the place where somebody better start to quit hiding from God. Because we're living in a time where people have, as a whole, become so evil that they don't even believe that there is a God, and that if there is a God, he don't care. And we know that's not true. God is long-suffering, but eventually judgment comes for these kinds of things. Verse 18 says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. I stand here today and I tell you that the day is coming where there will be again a healthy, reverential fear of God. Because he's going to see to it. Living this way that's described in this passage in Romans 3, we soon discover that we're living in pride and shame. Okay? First, let's look at pride. Pride devalues the dignity of life. And Satan, of course, is the father of lies, and he is the father of pride. God's word tells us pride goes before the fall. It is pride that tells each person on this earth that it's my life, and I'll live it the way I want to. That comes from the fruit of pride. That is the fruit of pride. that tells us we can just live the way we want to and there won't be any consequences because I'm in charge. Wrong. There has always been consequences for sin, and there always will be consequences for sin. Shame robs the heart of peace. When we feel shame in our hearts, then we have no peace. The enemy uses that to steal the peace from our lives. And we find ourselves laying in bed at night and rolling this way and rolling this way and rolling back the other way again. Somebody know what I'm talking about? When you've lost your peace, that's the way it is. Jesus said, "My peace I leave you," before he ascended on high. So when we are walking with him, we have peace. But when we start to walk in pride, and that leads us to walking in shame, then we lose our peace. Let's look at Adam and Eve when they fell to pride and shame, recorded in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 10. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 10. We're going all the way to the front of the book now. Beginning to read in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Hide and seek. The first recorded case of sin caused them to hide. And it all began. God was seeking them out. Do you think God, when he asked them the question, "Where are you?" Do you think he really didn't know? Come on now. He knew what's up. He knows all things. He's omniscient and he is omnipresent. So he knew where they were. When God asks us a question, he already knows the answer. The question is for our benefit. And the serpent lies. He said, "You will surely not die." Lie. Absolutely opposed what God had said. Lie. He flaunts in front of them the carrot of something that they can be prideful about. He tells them, when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. And the pride that was in them said, yeah, that sounds great. Beware of Satan dangling the carrots. Said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when she saw that the fruit was good and pleasing to the eye, she took it. She ate it. And gave some to her husband who was standing right there, I believe, looking over her shoulder. Instead of saying, hon, we ain't even supposed to be here. Let's get on. Yeah. Let's move on. That's what the man is supposed to be doing. So Eve's taking quite a hit. But Adam needs to take the hit with her. Because he should have been protecting his wife, right, guys? Right.
Amen.
My wife's in agreement. Just so y'all know, my wife's in agreement. I don't get a lot of amens from my wife, but boy, when we get talking about them women, she'll get right in there, roll up her sleeves, then get in agreement with me. Good stuff. So the man and the wife, they do this dumb thing. We probably would, every one of us probably would have done it too. Let's be honest. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. See, you got to understand, this was the first time, because it was the first time they sinned, this was the first time that God was going to have to punish them, correct them. So they didn't know what was going to happen. He had said they were going to die, but they were still alive. But death entered the world. Adam and Eve, man was created to live forever, guys. To live forever. These bodies would never die. But sin came into the world, and death came with it. And then lifespans started getting shorter. Adam lived to be 930 years old. Pretty sure we don't see people getting that old anymore. Why? Sin. God said, you will surely die, and he was right. Satan said, you will surely not die, and he was lying. The major point we want to look at is they hid from the Lord, and the Lord sought them out. When Jesus comes again, it will cause many to try to hide. We're in the Advent season. Advent means a coming. Okay, so we're in this season celebrating Jesus coming as a babe, born to the Virgin Mary. But there's another Advent coming. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. And when that happens, there are going to be people that event is going to cause to try to hide. Because of pride and shame and guilt. What's that guilt to that? Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17. If you'll turn there with me. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17. It says, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth, as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? This is talking about a day of reckoning that is coming. Day of reckoning. And it's going to cause people great and small, people wealthy and people without two nickels to rub together. It will span the earth. It will cause people to want the mountains to fall on them rather than face the wrath of the Lamb, because they are going to see him as he is in his glory. And even though they desire to hide, that they desire to be hidden, there will be no hiding. Listen, guys, we cannot hide from God. We've all tried. But we can't hide from him. He knows all things. But people try. People want to hide from God. People duck out from God when they make decisions to go back into patterns of sin. I've seen over the years, I've been walking with Jesus for over 40 years now. And in those 40 years, I've seen a lot of people come to altars. Altars I've been preaching at. Altars other people have been preaching at. I've seen a lot of people come to altars, and praise God for that, and pray the sinner's prayer and start out in a life with God. But then somewhere along the way, they get derailed. And the commitment they made to Christ causes them to want to hide when they start down the path of sin again. He meets her, or she meets him, or you know the scenario. There's just scenarios out there. Or they were addicts and they fell back into the whole life of addiction and whatever it is. But then there's this thing that happens. Sometimes they just all of a sudden disappear. But other times, people kind of get further from the altar. Because the altar, you know, the anointing's heavier up here. So they start moving back. And then they're no longer on the main floor. They're in the back. And I'm not saying if you're sitting back there, you're all nicely reprobates. I want you to understand. I'm talking about the progression that happens in people's life. Some of you just like to sit back there. Whatever, that's okay. But what I'm talking about is this progression of people moving back. Get further from the altar, and then the final step is out the door, and you don't see them anymore. And then, boy, if you want to see somebody with a guilty face, when they never told the pastor anything, never told anybody anything, and they disappear from the church, and you see them in a store somewhere. all of a sudden I turn into a ghost because they see me and their faces turn white. Because they just know it's the pastor and he's going to say, haven't seen you in a while. And they want to play hide and seek. It's true, isn't it? You know what I'm telling you is true. It's human nature. There is a day of reckoning coming. My friends, if you are in Christ Jesus, do everything you can to stay in Christ Jesus. I know this world is nuts. It drives me crazy too. But my eyes are on Jesus, and I want to see your eyes on Jesus. Don't hide from Him when He comes to seek you out. The sin that you've committed, just confess it before Him. Cast yourself at His feet. Repent and get on with Jesus. He's always ready to welcome us when we come to Him humbly with a repentant heart. But hiding from Him, that leads to destruction. The enemy is always working to divide people out from the flock. Just like lions you watch on National Geographic or some other channel, they always work to peel out the weak one, the one that is guilt-ridden with sin, I'll say. And they peel out that one and get it separated from the flock. And guess what? And isn't it interesting that we're told in the Word of God that it is Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it also says about him that he roams throughout the earth seeking whom he may devour. Kind of all fits together, doesn't it? Well, the good news is that God seeks us. God seeks us. We go through times when we tend to want to hide. We've gone back into sin, and we know God don't abide with sin, so it makes us feel guilty, and the pride causes us to sin, and then we end up in that cycle I was just talking about. But God, He continues to seek us. He'll come in the cool of the morning and walk in the garden and say, Wayne, where are you? Or whatever your name is. Luke 19, verse 10 tells us, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. He came to seek those that are hiding, those that are lost. He came to seek us out. His mission is motivated by love. It's because He loves us, and it's defined by compassion. Jesus Christ, our God, is loving and He is full of compassion. It is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Word of God tells us. He doesn't desire anyone to perish. That's not His will. But when people continue in hiding and die in their sins, destruction is what's waiting. Remember this passage I just quoted from Luke 19, verse 10. These are Jesus' words about Himself. If you have a red letter version of the Bible, look, the letters are red. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. But the pride and all that goes with it causes people to want to hide. I exhort every single one of you today, every man, every woman, every child, don't hide from God. It never ends well. Do not hide from God. Our need is to be found by Jesus. Every single one of us has a need to be found by Jesus. You know, I didn't get saved until I was 25 years old. I remember somebody asking me when I was living in my life of addiction. If I knew anything about Jesus. And I said, oh, I went to church when I was a kid. And I went to Sunday school. I just don't know about all that. That was my answer. I just don't know about all that. I don't know if I believe that. I was just being honest. But the further I went down that road of addiction, I found myself more and more in the depths of despair. Oh, when it was party time, I was the life of the party. But when I was by myself, inside, where I wouldn't let anybody look, wouldn't let anybody see it, but I was a wreck. I was a mess. I was depressed. Didn't really have any reason for living anymore. I was just living from one high to the next. One drunk to the next. And I didn't know that what was missing in my life was Jesus. I knew something was missing in my life, but I didn't know it was Jesus. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? There was a disconnect. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I went to Sunday school. I was raised in Sunday school. I went to church when I was a kid. I didn't get it. Not until I got to the bottom, to the absolute bottom. I was 6'5", and I still was so low, I couldn't see up a curb. I couldn't see over a curb, man. I couldn't go anymore. And then I was introduced to Jesus. I found Jesus. And I didn't even know I was supposed to be looking for him. But he was looking for me. I spent a lot of years hiding, and he spent a lot of years seeking. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Listen, this is good news, guys. This is really, really good news. Seek the Lord while he may be found. See, once Jesus returns and judges the earth, it's too late. Once our life is required of us on this earth and we leave this earth, it's too late. We don't get a second chance. For those of you that have been raised in Catholicism, there is no purgatory and no one is going to pray you out of it. That is not scriptural. You've been deceived. You're not going to spend 100 years in purgatory and then all of a sudden you go to a better place. No. It doesn't work that way. That's not biblical. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. These are such powerful, powerful instructions for us. So let the wicked forsake his way. That's what I'm praying for. The wicked have gotten so wicked in the earth. I've been praying that they will all of a sudden have an epiphany and they'll turn to Christ and do what we're seeing in 55 of Isaiah right now. We need to be praying for that, guys. No. My flesh tendency is I want to smite them. But my spirit tendency is pray for them, that they turn from their wicked way. That they call on him. Because he is seeking them. Let them turn to the Lord, it says, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what it is. Nothing is so bad that he won't pardon you. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He tells people all the time that you've done this, it's too bad. You can't be forgiven. You know, one of the ones that the enemy uses a lot is you realize there is no forgiveness for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I can't believe in the last 40 plus years that I've been walking with Jesus, the number of people that have come to me and said, I can't be saved. I committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's useless. I can't be saved. I would really like to be saved, but I can't be saved. The enemy is feeding people this bunk. And let me tell you the truth. The only reason a person that truly commits blasphemy against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven is because that person's heart is so hard that they will never turn to Christ. Because otherwise they would be forgiven. Do you understand what I'm saying? The enemy is a liar. He's a deceiver. The very fact that a person cares about the fact that they think they may have committed that sin and they want to be saved tells you right off the bat, you didn't really commit that sin. The enemy's a liar. He wants us to hide while God is seeking us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Satan says, "You better hide. You better hide. Here he comes." Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. There's that fearing God thing again. You think that's an important principle? You with me? That's an important principle. And that's what's lacking in our culture. We need a restoration of reverential fear for God. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We all need a reverential fear of God. Yes, we need to be in a love relationship. But we must be very careful. We never, ever get to the place where we are so familiar with God that we no longer have a reverential fear of him.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying? When we lose our reverential fear of God, we have just entered the danger zone. Two things in my mind will cause us to restrain from sin. The fear of God and the love of God. Those two things have the ability to restrain us from going back into patterns of sin. Romans 3:23 is the word of God, and the word of God is truth. And Romans 3:23 says, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of us sin. But the difference is, guys, when we are in a right relationship with God, in a repentant relationship, then sin is then the exception in our lives instead of the rule. Instead of the rule. Before we come to Christ, before we're in a right relationship with him, sin rules in our hearts. It's what the Word of God tells us. Sin rules. So, when we're not in a right relationship with God, sin rules our lives. It's the rule of our life. But when we get born again, oh, we still commit a sin once in a while, but then we hopefully are not any longer in patterns of sin to where it still rules in our lives. Sin becomes the exception. Even though we still sin and fall short of the glory of God, sin no longer rules in our lives. We together on that? As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Do you fear God? Do you love God? He is worthy of both. All right, that's our message. Hide and seek. Oh, Father, I just pray your blessing on every person here today. Thank you for our visitors here today. And we just pray a double blessing on them, Lord. I thank you that we have heard your word today. And we pray that you will seal this word in our hearts with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, give us the wisdom to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Lord, give us the grace to be able to give an account of the hope that we have in you to anyone throughout this coming week that would call us to give an account of that hope. Give us the words to speak, Lord, from the heart that you've planted in us. Now, Lord, just be our Lord, be our Savior, and we'll do our best to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.